exactly 3 o'clock. Eh? So today is our 67th lesson of the 6th page here, Platform Sutta. Today the date is what?
21st.
Oh, 21st. January 2018, Sunday. So we are having our class at Wuping Qingsa. Now let us get ready for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, then virya, then mindfully, we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhinsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhinsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhinsu Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina, oh sorry, kamesu micchacara. Veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapama dathana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddham Pujayami. Dhammam Pujayami. ังฆังพุทเธมิโอเคYou can be seated, then we will turn to the first page. We will chant the verse for opening a sutta. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons.I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, then we will continue from where we stop. We are at page 328. Okay. This sutta is very short. Just...One and a quarter page. The title of this chapter or section is One Member of the Sangha. One of the Sangha asked the master, Huining, who got the principle of Huang Mei? The master replied, the one who understands the Buddha Dhamma.The Sangha member said, High Master, have you obtained it? I do not understand the Buddha Dhamma, the master replied. So what do you think actually happened? This member of the Sangha is trying to... What is he trying to do? Oh, ridicule. Maybe not so strong a word. I think he is trying to test Huining. Like put him in a spot. Understand? Ridicule means make fun. So he thought he cornered him. But Huining very smart. When he asked him, Hi Master, have you obtained it? What was his answer? I do not understand the Buddha Dhamma, the master replied. So he didn't want to say whether he received or he don't receive. But then early on, when the Sangha member asked him, who got the principle of Huang Mei? The master replied, the one who understands the Buddha Dhamma. Then why did he say towards the end, I do not understand the Buddha Dhamma? Can you make a guess? Why did he say that? In that sense. Because if you look at it from mundane people who don't have the awakening, so they will be very interested in all this. But when he speak, I do not understand the Buddha Dhamma, he speak it differently, understand? Because the Buddha Dhamma, according to mundane people, is different. According to mundane people, Buddha Dhamma are the sutta, the words, and sort of thing. But what he had realized is different. That's why he said, I do not understand the Buddha Dhamma. Then we go on to the commentary. The member of the Sangha was...truly a barbarian, this is what Xuan Hua put him as, an uneducated savage. So he, according to Xuan Hua, he rudely confronted the master and asked, who got the robe and bath of the fifth patriarch, Hong Ren, or Huang Mei?He knew very well that the sixth patriarch had it, but he asked anyway. From this, we know that among those who came to the master for instruction, there were rude country peasants as well as good disciples. He knew that his question was insulting to the master. Xuan Hua used the word insulting, but I would prefer a word like he tried to corner him, tried to put him in a spot. And what he meant by it was, this one maybe Shen Hua is correct. He said, to the peasant, you can't even read. How can you be worthy of the robe and bath? Because he's an illiterate, remember? Then the master said, one who thoroughly comprehends the Buddha Dharma obtained the principle and the fifth patriarch's robe and bowl. Then the bhikkhu asked, but high master, the bhikkhu said, have you got it or not? He didn't believe that the master had received the transmission. The sixth patriarch didn't say yes, and he didn't say no. He simply said, I don't understand the Buddha Dharma. Then he questioned him back, what do you think? Was he telling the truth? So this is a very interesting question. So like just now Paramasri explained, well, there is nothing to know. All knowing comes from knowledge. So when he say I understand, it's not so bad. That's why Huining put there the one who understands the Buddha Dharma receive it. But here he say, I do not understand the Buddha Dharma means the words, understand, the concept, the one that mundane people cling on to. Because he's an illiterate. But when the voice was spoken because of his past, his special ability from the past cultivation, his nature, he understood them and he comprehended them. So there are many such people in this world. Similarly, in our modern society, I think there are quite a number of people who wants to like make life difficult for teachers or certain masters. And they know by asking those questions, they can corner them. But most of these masters or teachers, if they have the Dhamma, they don't know issue with all these questions. I believe you have heard this before. The sutta, I don't know whether Theravada you heard it before or not. It's popularly accepted in the Mahayana tradition, even in the Diamond Sutta. The one who is enlightened, they will know there is no one to be enlightened. So what they do is they know you cannot claim to be the enlightened one. And it's also a type of like popularly accepted understanding that if you dare to say you will have ego, understand, or then it shows that you are not, because the sutta says so. Then I observed there were many occasions where there are some very direct what you call them, those who listen to the talk and sharing audience. There are certain audience are very direct. They will ask an indirect question, and after that they will ask a very direct question, especially to monk. One day, are you enlightened? So we put the monk in a very tight spot, you know. Or are you an Arya? Then some even ask, what stage are you? Have you come across such a thing or not? How many of you have come across? Oh, you have come across. Let Miss Lee share. Come, share with us. What happened and how did the monk answer? So this one is indirectly putting a question to Huining. If you receive the thing, means you are the one who has been chosen to take over. So because of that, he will have to admit that he is the one that received the transmission from the fifth patriarch. Means admitting that he is the enlightened one. But enlightened being no one, they won't answer this way. Yeah, we let Miss Lee share.
I don't quote the name, okay? I attended two Dharma talks. Once a layperson asked the monk, "Are you enlightened?" And this monk said, "Please mind your own business." And okay. Another monk, he also been asked that question. And he, without hesitation, he say, "No, I'm not."
Yeah. Very good. Thank you for the sharing. So you see, there are various answers that you heard before. But it's actually a very, very tough question if you are not enlightened. But for those enlightened beings, they got no problem. Because like I used to share with you all, this form of mind that is connected to the nature, and if the nature awakened, means the wisdom is already there. So once the form of mind connected to the true mind, the nature, and that one inside the phenomena and awakened, that wisdom is within, because that silent mind awakened to it. So that wisdom allow the form and mind to become enlightened. But the enlightened being will know this form and mind is not him, understand? No? That's why if he answer he is not enlightened, it doesn't mean he lied. He doesn't lie. You understand? No? That this is not him, understand? No? That's why if you look through the sutta, the Buddha, in many occasions, he mentioned the disciple, who and who, so and so, already arahant. Or first stage of sainthood, even lay people. Second stage of sainthood, third stage of sainthood, means sotapanna, sakadagami, and anagami, and even arahanta. So he mentioned them. That refers to the physical form and mind of that particular bhikkhu. And that one is condition arising, dependent originating. That one is not that bhikkhu. So when you have that understanding, then there is no contradiction. It's just like when the Buddha, under the five daily contemplation or the first right view with regards to law of karma, that one, very clearly he said, all living beings, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So to many people, if you really reflect and contemplate, hey, how come the Buddha say we exist? We are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. Then they will become doubtful, because on many occasions when he teach the meditation, he said we have to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature. The impermanent universal characteristic, suffering state, and the non-self or empty nature. Then when you are able to insight into this universal characteristic, then you will understand that this form of mind is not you. It's anatta, non-self. Then you think the Buddha contradicted himself. No, he didn't contradict himself. Like I always explain, maybe I draw on the whiteboard. This particular form of mind that the Buddha is referring to is your physical body and consciousness. So this one is your five aggregate of form and mind. This is mind or consciousness. Then this is the physical body. So these two, you add together become the five aggregate of form and mind. And this is what the human being is all about, the first aspect, form and mind. So this is the first aspect. As a human being. As we all know, this physical body, they got the aggregate of form or rupa. Then this one, form or aggregate of mind. So this one is the first aggregate of form. So 1 plus 4 will give you 5. The Buddha was referring to this when he said you are born of your karma. So this one is born of karma. The 5th daily contemplation plus the rest. This one is subject to karma, always remember. But this one is not you. This one is subject to karma. To karma. But it is not you. This is a very important understanding. If you fail to understand this, you cannot comprehend the Buddha's teaching. You cannot awaken. But this one must be realized. Not a book knowledge. If you base on what you hear, what people tell you, then you believe, it will not help you. Well, you will cling, you will grasp, you will believe this is you. Like we have gone through. How many of you can really have the understanding that this form and mind is not you? If not you, then why does it arise in you? Then who are you? What are you? That's the reason why you have to reflect, contemplate, then silence your mind to meditate. Then when you meditate, you will understand why the Buddha say this. Five aggregate of form and mind, or the so-called human being, the first aspect, and the mental five aggregate, which is the second aspect, they are all dependent originating, condition arising, no reality. Dependent on condition they arise. And you have to realize that through the silent mind. Without that silent mind awakening to it or realizing it in your meditation, you cannot understand. You will believe. That is what you are. Especially so when you are born into this conditioned world. Since birth until now, if you have not studied the Buddha Dharma, you have not understood this teaching, you will definitely grasp and cling and believe that this is what you are. Because you have been identified with this physical body and mind since birth until now. When you are born, they give you a name, put it in your birth certificate, then state clearly that your parents are who, what religion you profess. Then they identify you, male, female, then with a birth certificate number. Then later you go to school, you got an identity card that follow you. Again, your name, your address, all those things, the data are there. Then when you grew up to a certain age where you are eligible to have a passport to travel the world, again, they identify you. You go to school, your teacher identify you. You go and work, your company Keshav people also identify you through your birth certificate, IC, or sometimes if you are a foreigner, through your passport. So these are the identification that they gave to you, the world gave to you. Then since young until now, you have been carrying that identity. Then when you graduate or after you come out to work, you got a job title. Then they call you by your title. If you are a teacher, they call you a teacher. So you got another identity as a teacher. Then when you are married, you become a married couple. Then you can become parents. They identify you again. Then daughter-in-law, son-in-law. Then you also have a lot of this conventional truth where they identify you through the thing you do. Then later on, if you get those awards, they give you a title. They call you Dato or Datin. There's sometimes Tan Sri. Then if you are professional, they call you accountant, doctors, engineers, lawyers, and all those things. So all these are the self-delusion, the identification with form and mind that human being goes through. And because of that, it's very difficult for you to develop the understanding that this form and mind is not you. Maybe we discuss this, it's linked to the notes that I give out. So you can refer to the notes. There's a copy in front. So this one was based on a Surangama Sutta Tuesday Dhamma class sharing held at my house in SS2. It was dated 12 of March 2013. This one, all of a sudden when I wanted to prepare some notes for you all for this coming retreat at Cameron Highland. Then I stumbled upon a file where we had a retreat in the year 2013. There were two or three of the notes which were very good. One of them was regarding a yogi who attended and wrote to me. Then there are a lot of very good sharing in his write-up. Then for those yogi who has been there or new yogi who hasn't been there, when you read that Kailamitas write-up, it's very useful, it's very good. Of course some are added in by me. That's why I put the name as anonymous. So this particular write-up can help yogi to develop clear understanding of your purpose and how to develop the meditation, because a lot of the useful answers and pointers are in that note. So I will prepare that. Then I also saw this note which was very good. Then I don't know whether we put it in the Heart Sutta or not. Padmasuri, in the Heart Sutta? Which appendix? I don't think so. Oh, is it? In the Heart Sutta? Oh, got it. Oh, then we are lucky. No, it's not the same. It's not the same. It got a lot of circle, but it's not the same, I think. This one is Surangama one. That time, I think, Miss Lee, was it Miss Lee who did it? Then I edited it. Then it came out very beautiful, because this is a complete chart on cultivation. And with this, by now, most Kailamita were already ready and have the understanding to comprehend this. Because 5 years ago, I don't think so. 5 years ago, very few of you understand what this chart is all about. Even though I share it in the year 2013. Okay, now we go through. Important special Dhamma shared on the 12th of March 2013. At that Tuesday class. The first two left and right rectangular box, This one, I think, we have gone through. Most of you by now understood this. The first very important quote from the Surangama Sutta is, perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. Yeah. So this one, if you understand by now, I believe most of you already have the understanding, then you will progress very fast as you cultivate. Yeah. And the word perception of form is consciousness come from the mundane mind. So when the mundane mind perceive thing, perceive the external form, you need consciousness to arise them. So this consciousness is not the pure consciousness. This is mundane consciousness, means consciousness with its content, together with your views, opinion, and conditioning. Whereas the non-perception is wisdom, means the enlightened being, when they see things as they are, before the knowing. So, like I mentioned, that to see things as they are before the knowing means the word hasn't come out. The concept hasn't come out. That's why, whereas its non-perception is wisdom, where you haven't perceived yet. You see things as they are, without the words, without the concept. And that is the direct seeing, the pure perception. And this is the reason why the Surangama Sutta is very, very powerful, very potent, and it can really awaken beings. But very few people understand this. So by now, most of you, I believe, have the understanding. If you still don't understand, you better ask. Anybody still don't understand? Good. Can. Use the mic, Professor.
Hello. Matthew, may I ask a question? That means, Matthew, at this stage, all the four marks already arises. Is it? Am I right? The four marks of self, a self.
No, when you use the mundane mind, which is the egoic mind, then all the marks will be there. Because that mundane mind is a worldly mind. And the worldly mind, through thought, through memory, is egoic. It cannot understand. So you will perceive according to words, concept, and all those things. Whereas what this saying in the Surangama Sutta is trying to let cultivator understand is, the direct seeing is different. When you are able to train your mind until it's silent, still, no movement, when you see things as they are, listen, when you see things as they are, without the interference of your memory, of your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, whatever that you accumulate in your brain, when this one is not interfering, then the silent mind just perceive, see things as they are, without the words, without the concept, without any movement. That is the enlightened being's mind. That's why that mind, when they see things as they are, there is nothing. That's the reason why the sutta say, perception of form is consciousness. This is mundane seeing. Whereas it's non-perception, means you don't perceive with the mundane mind. You see things as they are with the true mind, or the pure perception before the knowing. That is the enlightened understanding. That's why when they call it the Mahayana Zen master, when the disciple come and say, "Master, Master, I'm already enlightened," then they are full of joy. They want to, like, let the Zen master know. Then the Zen master say, "Very good, very good. Oh, I'm happy that you are enlightened." Then the master point to the table. "What do you see there?" The moment he replied table, the grandmaster, the Zen master will whack him already. He said, you see, you enlightened. You still perceive form. Perception of form is what? Consciousness, yeah. You are using the mundane consciousness. That's why you say got table, yeah. There is nothing, that's all. The world is just the world as it is. No name, nothing. So this understanding is there. Okay? You can follow. But I must warn you, don't try to like in the meditation, try to see things as they are. You forget about it. Because if you do that, it's no different from you try to do away the defilement. Do you understand? Because the defilement is there because you don't have the spiritual faculty and the wisdom. That's why the defilements are there. Because nothing free you except wisdom. So what you need to develop under the meditative training is to develop the right view, the wisdom and the right understanding to free your mind. Then the defilement cannot arise. But if you focus on trying to suppress, control, and do away the defilement, what are you doing? You are trying to use the mundane mind to overcome something that the mundane mind creates. You cannot cease it. Because your mundane mind is active. You are using thought-based meditation. So exactly in a similar way, you don't say, wow, Surangama Sutta say perception of form is consciousness, whereas non-perception is. So everything you see, you don't want to know. You don't want to perceive. Hey, this is crazy. This is not what the Sutta teaching. Understand? What the Sutta is telling you is when you train your mind, when you are able to silence your mind, stabilize that true mind, then in the midst of life, you will awaken to this understanding. And this one is a wisdom, it's an understanding. It's not a doing, understand or not? It's not you try to become like that. That one is the thought. How can the thought try to become like that? When thought is active, there is no direct seeing. Then you refuse to let the memory come out. Then let's say you see a Buddha Rupang. You refuse to recognize the Buddha Rupang, understand or not? I'm seeing things as they are. No, this is delusion. You are deceiving yourself. You just focus on the training until your daily mindfulness become very stable. Until your mind enters sati. Then you will experience this through the direct seeing. And you will know, at that moment, there was nothing. And then you understand, no wonder the sutta is like that. That's why about 20 over to 30 years ago, the moment I read this Surangama Sutta, the whole book, I only liked this sentence. It was so beautiful. At that time, nobody taught me. But the moment I read, I understood what these words are. Because my nature went through. I didn't perceive it, those things. Through the direct seeing, this true mind, true nature, awakened to all this, understood all this. And that time there were no words. That's the reason why Huining, the moment he heard truth, he awakened. Because he already had the cultivation in the past. He already had them as inheritance from the spiritual nature. So these other beings, they only need truth. They don't need education. They can be illiterate, no problem. But the moment they hear truth, they will understand. You don't need to know the words, the concept, or the description of it. The moment the enlightened being understand, the mind already awakened. So this is the difference. When you cultivate, forget about using the thought. You just train your mind to be heedful. Like what the Buddha say. And what is heedfulness? Yeah? What is heedfulness? Yeah? Huh? Ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So, how can you be ever mindful? Yeah? We better write it down. This one must go in. If you don't go in, very difficult. Even at a retreat, you may not benefit much. So what is heedfulness? Yes. So this one, you must get it right. Sometimes a lot of people, they have one L, is there? One L or two L, heedful. One L. So, ever mindful. Plus, constantly meditative. Meditative. Means constantly cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. Constantly cultivating. The Noble Eightfold Path. So this is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So for you to be in the state of heedfulness, because the Buddha, before he passed away, he also reminded the monks, strive on with heedfulness. The moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. Dhammapada verse 21, 22, and 23. So you have to work on this. That's it. Finish. That's why don't try to fight the defilement, suppress, control, and do away with the defilement. No. Then don't try to see things like what the Surangama Sutta say. This one, the truth come about because enlightened being will understand. If you are not enlightened, you cannot understand. That's why you need to train your mind, cultivate, and just do. And to train your mind to do what? To be heedful. So to be heedful, the first criteria is ever mindful. You ask a question, how can you be ever mindful? How can you be ever mindful? First, you must train your mind to have what? If you want to be ever mindful, you must at least first train your mind to be. You have to train it to be mindful first, isn't it? If you are not mindful, how can you stabilize it to become ever mindful? So to satisfy this, first you have to train mind to be what? To be mindful. This is the first thing you have to do, That's a mindfulness training. Relax, silence your mind, and just be aware. If the spiritual faculty is not there, train the spiritual faculty. Don't go and fight the mental hindrance. Then you need to decondition your heedless thinking, do it. Then combine a metta to bring about inner peace, inner well-being. Then the silent mind, which is mindfulness, will arise. When it's already mindful, you have to stabilize it. So first is you have. First you have to train mind to be mindful. And this one is what mind? Which mind do you train? This is the mundane mind, understand or not? Because the true mind no need to train. The true mind is already that nature. So this one is the mundane mind. So you have to train mind to be mindful. So train the mundane mind. Because the mundane mind is heedless. Then the second one is what? Second step. What must you do? What must you do? How to make it ever mindful? What must you do after you already mindful? What must you do? Ah, step two is to stabilize. Stabilize it to be ever mindful. And what do you do to stabilize it? Huh? What do you do to stabilize it? Ah, you have to develop daily mindfulness and all those things. Of course, you can also initially use anapanasati, which is the skillful mean. Anapanasati, to stabilize it. Then until the anapanasati becomes so subtle, then the mind enters sati. Daily mindfulness. So this anapanasati is, you have to develop it until mind enters sati. So when your mind enters sati, means you already naturally aware, mindful, means your spiritual faculty of sati is established. If your mind does not enter sati, you cannot be in sati in the midst of life. That's why you have to stabilize it. Stabilize it to be ever mindful. This one must put in the F-U-L, otherwise you all get confused. Ever mindful. Whatever skillful means for you to anchor the mind so that it is in sati, where your breath is always in the present moment. That's why when you are mindful of your in and out breath, you are not thinking, you are not lost in thought. Your mindfulness stabilizes. Become continuous. Then you relax into it, silent, until that mind becomes very quiet, very still. Then you enter pasati, the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, not in concentration, not a conditioned state. That's it's a free mind. So if you do this, then you become ever mindful. Then after that, use it to cultivate noble eightfold path. It's very easy. The most difficult is to make it ever mindful in the midst of life throughout the day. If you can do this, you are home. Okay? Yeah. So to stabilize your mindfulness, the best is when you are at a retreat. Because the environment are very conducive, the conditions are very conducive. Then just now I told you about the right cup I will issue to those who are going. You read through them before you come for the retreat. It's about 5 pages. And it's very good. It explains to you a lot of things regarding the retreat and how you can benefit from it and how you can develop the cultivation we understand. That's why this year the focus is on cultivation with understanding. And a lot of you will progress because the earlier retreat condition were not there. There were too many things to be explained, to be shared. And year by year, I slowly, when the condition is there, I improve on the program. Then I try to refocus the sharing, the retreat format and all those things. So this year, because of what happened over the last 2 years, there are a lot of very, very beautiful conditions. And the signs are there that people are going to receive the teaching very fast. And a lot of you will progress without you knowing it. Then this year, you can prepare yourself, maintain attentiveness, mindfulness, then you just do develop the training, you will come back different, completely different. And as you stabilize this daily mindfulness, you will experience them at a retreat. Then after that, you continue your religious routine. You will become beautiful. And within maybe a few months, you will have a lot of understanding. Your nature will understand. And a lot of transformation can happen. Yeah. Then you are like completely different. The five spiritual faculties become very stable, like energized. They can become powers or balas. Okay? So this one is just a revision so that you understand. Then we go to the second rectangular box, towards the right on top. This one. Just now we were here. Perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. And this one you can only understand if you have the stability of mindfulness, the silent mind, to see things as they are. Means to see things as they are without the thought, without the brain, the memory, the conditioning, the views and opinion interfering. So this one is to see things as they are before the arising of mind. Then this one is liberation, enlightenment. So when you awaken, after you have the ability to insight into phenomena, then when you awaken, the mind transforms. Then you are most of the time heedful, aware. You are no longer lost in thought, heedless, like last time. Then your mundane mind, which is trained, become very beautiful, very quiet. Then after that, this mundane mind will be transformed. It leads to peace, love, and joy. And this one is a free mind, which means it is enlightenment living. Enlightened being living. Enlightened living. We are your five spiritual faculty and the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path. Not until you have these five spiritual faculty develop until very stable and your Noble Eightfold Path factors all cultivated properly, your awakening cannot happen. Because enlightened beings are beings who are very noble in all aspects of their life. Means they are very noble in the way they understand life. That's why Noble Eightfold Path, they have right view with regards to the five natures, universal order, pancha niyamas. Then they conduct themselves in a very noble way. Means they have noble speech, noble action, and their thought process are very, very virtuous. They always carry with them right thought, right speech, right action, and they live their life in accordance with Noble Eightfold Path. That's why it's right living. Then earlier on, they would have cultivated the four right effort continuously to abandon the unwholesome thought, unwholesome action, and unwholesome speech. Then the right effort to prevent the arising of unwholesome thought, unwholesome action, and unwholesome speeches. Then finally, the last two, right effort, means right effort to cultivate the right action, right speech, and right thought that are still not in them, they will do it. Then the final right effort is to refine upon all these right thought, right speech, right action, and perfect them all. And this one all related to your Bodhisattva vow, the four basic vow. Then after you finish the right effort, by then your spiritual faculty of sati and samadhi is already very stable. That's why you will have right mindfulness and right samadhi, or collectiveness of mind, the unwavering mind. So Noble Eightfold Path, the whole of the embodiment of all the power factor, you will have. If you only focus on meditation, thinking that getting all the fantastic experiences of meditation, the special the special awakening. They call that awakening because they can see light, they can see nimitta, they can levitate, they can do a lot of psychic performance. That one cannot free you, because that one is not wisdom. The thing that can free you is only understanding, wisdom, not all this. That's the reason why you must have right view. You must cultivate and awaken to develop the right view. You must insight into phenomena. Then you must investigate into what the Buddha say. Right view in regards to law of karma. You reap what you sow. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. You cannot run. You understand all this. You cannot understand all this means you are not doing it correctly. So all this understanding will be there. That's the reason why in the early day I always mention to remind you, whatever meditation you do, if it does not lead you back to the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, it is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And to develop the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, you need the five spiritual faculty, very stable. Otherwise, you cannot even come near to it. Because without sati, mindfulness, nothing happens. That's the reason why later on a lot of monks who understand, even Ajahn Chah, he said, for sati is life. Without sati, you cannot be heedful. And the Buddha said, the heedless are as if dead. You don't stand a chance. That's why the first thing is sati. That's also the reason why the Buddha reminded the monk, strive on with heedfulness. And in the opening statement of the Appamattavagga, verse 21, he said, heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. You have to develop the opposite. Whereas heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. And you must awaken to those verses or statements as proclaimed by the Buddha. Then only you understand his teaching. If you don't pay attention to his words, you cannot understand. Because nowadays, the focus is very funny. In fact, a lot of so-called Buddhists, cultivator, practitioner, meditator, you know what their focus is or not? What normally they look for? Enlightenment. Then they want to do vipassana. Then some jhana, you know. So they want to have fantastic meditative experience. But they forgot the teaching. The teaching has got nothing to do with those things. Those are conditioned states. Those things come from energy field, concentration, thought base. But people cannot understand. So the real focus is to train your mind to be mindful, stabilize it to be ever mindful, then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. It's just so simple. You go and check. Very seldom you find retreat or meditation center telling you this. Sometimes in the sharing they will mention the Noble Eightfold Path, but they don't know how to start the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path. Because you need the spiritual faculty. Without the spiritual faculty, no way. You need heedfulness. Without heedfulness, you are as if dead. So you can go and do all those thought-based meditation, note this, note that, focus, concentrate, and do all those things. You won't change. You will be the same square one. The moment you go out into life, you cannot maintain that ever mindful state in the midst of life. You cannot be heedful and mindful in the midst of life. You don't stand a chance. I should use the word as clear as that. Otherwise people are not happy. As blunt as that means very direct. So hopefully by now you should have all this understanding so that you are not gullible. You won't debate. Otherwise you can continue to try your own way and see whether it takes you any further. You can check yourself in the midst of life, whether you still have the fear, worry, anxiety, defilement and delusion or not. You cannot check means you don't have mindfulness. You are not aware, you are not sensitive. Even people who suffer, especially depressed people, miserable people, they know they're suffering. Most of them now, the younger generation, the intelligent one, actually they know. That's why they in search. They went and search for solution. Well, recently there was one young man, about 29 years old. He was having a very bad patch of depression. He said, over the last 29 years he has lived on this earth, at least half of it, which is 14 or 15 years at least, he was in depression with suicidal thought. And she has a lot of problems, especially in the last few years, the last 7 or 8 years. Then finally, he came to my Thursday class, 2 sessions on it. Then he decided to see me last Sunday. So last Sunday, exactly 1 week ago, I think on the 14th, today 21st, on the 14th, he came, then I explained to him. It lasted for 3 to 4 hours almost. He completely recovered. And he told me he is so happy, never before. Then I read to you a small sharing that he sent to us. Maybe for you to have faith. Okay. So on the 13th, he contacted Brother Suyan. 13th is Saturday. Then Brother Suyan gave him my house address. He said, Brother Teo's house address, PJSS2. Then after that he replied. He said, I'm driving on my way, reaching at 3:40. He said he overslept. He came on Saturday. He came on Saturday, the 13th. Then after that, the next day, the next morning, 14th January, Suyan texted me. He said, how's the session with our friend? I said, very good. He is very happy and okay already. He will recover beautifully and gain back his self-confidence. He can understand my sharing very fast. See, these people, because they go through the new generation, they understand very fast. I received the message at 9:50. Then I replied to Suyan at about 10 something, before 11. Then 1:16, which was yesterday, 1 week later, yesterday. Oh, sorry, 20th of January, yesterday. He wrote to Suyan, you listen to this. I tell you, you will have a lot of joy. He said, hi Suyan, good morning. I just wanted to tell you that I am free. See, he used such word now. He said, after 29 years of living on this planet, more than half of that lifetime, I was depressed and having suicidal thought almost every day. I have been to motivational seminars and read motivational books and speak to people. It has never worked. But surprisingly, after 3 sessions of getting advice, he mentioned from a venerable counseling, and 1 session with Sui An and 1 session with me. Of course, he didn't write the 2 Thursday class. He said, in less than a month, it cures a lifetime unhappiness. I can't believe this, and I never expected it. I also do not know it can be so fast. This is the first time I feel freedom, he said. Then he continued, I have never felt the sense of freedom and no worry for so long, and I cannot believe this. Because for the last 1 week, the suicidal thought never come, the unhappy thought never come, the wrong thought all never come. Yeah. At the moment he understands, his mind is different. Yeah. Then the last part is the best. He said, thank you so much. I can't believe this. With one phone call in December 2017 leads to enormous change in my mind, in my understanding of life. Yeah. And Sui An replies, this is due to your good parami. He said, you don't have to thank us. Yeah. And after that, I think he told Sui An, he said, next Thursday he may bring two or three of his friends to attend my Thursday class. See? These are new people. I don't know them. From nowhere they have been searching. They went to some temple, they talked to monk. Then finally they end up in SJBA. It's like Sui An talked to him, then Sui An said, you better attend Thursday class. And he came, two sessions. And during that two sessions, he was so attentive. I remember the first session, I was asking him, why you come? He said, I want to be happy. And then I know already, he's very unhappy. So people who are very unhappy, they can wake up very fast. Because everything I say, that two sessions, both Thursday, he said, brother, you make it so simple and so easy to understand. Everything that you mention about the memory, the attachment, the craving, the clinging, the conditioning, the scars of memory, the fear, the phobia, is 100% directed. It's everything concerning him. He has been holding on to that wrong thought, the miserable thought. And all this memory is killing him. Because these are thoughts that are unfit for attention, I told him. Like a knife. You use it wrongly, it cut you, harm you, hurt you, and you hit another. This is not the right way to use your thought. Being deluded and foolish, you use it that way. If you use it with wisdom, right understanding, it can become so beautiful. It not only free you, it can bring about so much joy, so much happiness. Then when you train this mind, it's so peaceful, so still, so serene. Then you can be a blessing to all. You can help yourself. You can help people. So this is the power of Buddha Dhamma. When you understand, it's very beautiful. So all this understanding, if you really have faith, you strive on with heedfulness and train, you will become beautiful. You will become different. And this era where the sasana is around is very easy, not difficult. People like him, new to Buddhism, clean slate, nothing. And he learned so fast. He said, one thing he liked, before he went out of my house, he reminded me, he said, Brother Teo, thank you so much. He said. Then I said, it's also your good parami from your past, otherwise you cannot be here. Then he said, you make things so clear and so simple, so easy to understand, he said. That's why he said straight away, after the first Thursday class, he felt better. The second Thursday class, end of the class, he told me, I am so much better now. Then after he come and talk to me, I explained the karmic thing. Then I explained about the thought, how he should use it through Noble Eightfold Path, right viewers. He immediately full of joy and he told me, thank you, he said, thank you. He said, it's so beautiful. Last time, he said, when he was searching, nobody can explain to him what is happening to him and what he's suffering and how he become what he is. He said, you put things so clearly, so easy for him to comprehend that he was able to relate to it. Then just from that understanding, he becomes so different overnight. That's why he himself was shocking. He don't believe. Just imagine, suicidal thought has been with him almost every day, for the last how many years. Half of his life was having this depressed mind state. Yeah. And yet, within less than a month, everything just reversed itself. He transformed and he came out. So this is what can happen if you really have the faith. Go into this teaching, develop the understanding, put it into practice. Yeah. He only attend 2 sessions. How much meditation you think he can do? Not much. But it's through listening, because he has his condition from the past. Yeah. And he just come out of it. You know what is come out of it? Come out of it doesn't mean enlightened. No? You don't be foolish. Come out of it means no more problem. But he need to develop the understanding through meditation. Then he will become very different later on. So when you can come out of a situation, means you have certain right view already. But you have to do all those things. I told him, ask for forgiveness. Then repent. Determined not to do it, not to repeat all this. Then invoke power of merits. Because once you attend this class, you will develop the meritorious action. Then invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to come out of those state, recover to good, beautiful mind state. Then you can develop the wisdom to liberate your mind, to free your mind. So these are the understanding that you must have. Then work towards it. And it can be done. New people who got no exposure to the teaching so fast can just understand. Maybe for those who are too long in Buddhism, too much conditioning, that's why you have your problem. You don't have a clear mind to see, listen and understand. Because your conditioning, your views, opinion, and all this belief system prevent you from accepting a lot of things, prevent you from like having an open mind to try things out. You like to go back to your old way, and the resistance is lingering at the back of your mind, but you cannot see. That's why your faith cannot be strong, cannot be deep. If you really have faith, I tell you, you will progress very fast, you will transform very fast. What else is more important than having this understanding? Not all the wealth and money that you are looking for. But this one, you cannot take along when you die. Whereas this understanding will follow you. If you know how to make the vow and the aspiration, life after life, then every life you come, you become very beautiful. Okay? What's the time now? Oh, another 15 minutes. Okay, we quickly go through this one. So, the first 2 rectangular boxes we have finished. Okay, the next 4 circles. This one, you have to pay attention a bit. I will run through this one quickly because they are all in the notes. You can develop the understanding when you go back and read. If you don't understand, you can ask. You look at the bottom, the square at the bottom. This particular one. What is this one? What is on your note? Human being, isn't it? So for your case, is your form and mind. You understand? So human being. Then the arrow that goes up is what? Read aloud. Mind is the this is what the Buddha says, Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. That's why up there the circle is a samsaric mind. Samsara come to be when your mind arises. You know what is samsara? Oh, I think maybe Vivian doesn't know. Vivian is quite new. You know what is samsara? You forgot. You see, samsara means when you are born into this world, they call it the cycle of birth and death. Means every time you come, you are born. Then you live, then you die. Then again, you come, you die. So they call it the cycle of birth and death. That's why it's a wheel of birth. Samsara means unendingly. You keep on coming and die, coming and die. So in Hokkien, last night I remember Reynolds, Reverend Suwano, he always said, human beings who are deluded, healers, they don't know what is going on. So he used the Hokkien, he's from Penang, gong gong tua, gong gong jia, gong gong si. Everything also gong. Gong means deluded. Means you grow up deluded. Then every day you eat also without understanding, you eat with delusion. Then when you die also, you don't understand why you die and how you die and how you come. And because of that, samsara is like eternity to you. So if you want to get out of samsara, you want to end all this suffering, you have to cultivate this teaching. So the samsaric mind, what can it do? There is another rectangular box on your when you are reading it, it's on your left. Samsaric or mundane mind. Now, what does that mind do? Read out. Clinging and grasping onto of form and mind. Yeah? Self delusion. Yeah, you think this is you. So this is heedless living, understand? This is how suffering comes to be. Then the other rectangle over the other side is what? If you are a meditator, a cultivator, you must train your mind to be mindful, stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then you can learn to see form, the internal form, the mental form, and the external form. Then learn to see the unreality of form via understanding them as impermanent, condition arising, dependent originating. Then through your silent mind, learn to see beyond form. We are the direct seeing. This is the Surangama seeing, the right direct seeing. The seeing without words, without concept. So you can do that, then you move up the other bigger rectangle. Read the content inside there. Read the content above that one. To see, so you have to see and understand impermanent and empty nature or non-self nature of all phenomena. Means all of nature's phenomena, physical and mental phenomena, they have the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self. So this, what they call universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self, empty nature, you have to see them. So how do you see them? You see them as condition arising, dependent originating. You perceive through mind, means mundane seeing, but as images in mind, so even more unreal. It's just like the bulokat analogy that the Buddha gave, isn't it? The Buddha said, this buloka that you see, is it real? Oh, they say real. I can sit on it because it can perform a function. Then the Buddha say, okay, dismantle the buloka. After the buloka dismantle, all the parts taken apart, then the Buddha asked the monk again, where is the buloka? Oh, they say no more. So you start to understand. Dependent on condition, when the parts come together, it perform a function, you give it a name, bulokat, arise already, exists. That's the reason why it's condition arising, dependent originating. You follow that point up. Can follow, huh? Then he said, how do you know the bulokat? How do you know the bulokat? How do you know? How do you know the Buddha image? Through your perception. So what is perception? Mental image, isn't it? It's just an image in your brain. If you are a science student, you know it's inverted. Then your brain know how to make it upright. So if it's just an image, how real can it be? Externally already not so real, isn't it? Because it's dependent originating, condition arising. If the parts don't come together, it doesn't exist. Then how do I know the block art? Through an image. And this image is even more unreal than the block art, isn't it? The physical card, isn't it? So mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chi. So when mind arrives, everything, that's why you perceive it through an image, through a perception in your brain. And this is just an image. How real can it be? So it's even more unreal. Then the question is, why do you cling? Why do you grouse? Why do you give meaning? And entangle yourself and become miserable and afflicted. So this is meditation. This is the awakening, the understanding. Then after you have that, you become enlightened. You become heedful. The next small rectangle up there, you can see or not? You become enlightened, heedful, aware, most of the time. Not until you can have this stability of mindfulness, you are still far away from awakening. Yeah. Then after that, you will have the condition to live the life of an enlightened one. That's why the circle up there is enlightenment living. Existential or the phenomenal world where the enlightened being live. So this is enlightenment living. So this complete the training of the mind to become enlightened. Eh? Then down there, the two other rectangles down there, you have to read them too. Anything perceivable by the mind is a mental phenomenon, like the block art analogy. When the parts come together, enabling it to perform a function, we give it a name and a concept, then the block art arises and exists already. When the block art parts are separated, block art is gone and no more. Hence, condition arises. So this is to let you understand clearly. Everything is like that, not only the block art. My voice, whatever you perceive through your senses, they exhibit the same impermanent nature. Impermanent because it's dependent originating, condition arising. Hmm. Then the last box down there is, the rectangle is, with five grasping aggregate, upadana gandhas, the human being is being grasped at as the me and the I. Hence the ego, atta, due to self-delusion. That's how suffering arises. Where you believe is you. When you believe your body is you, you worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. When you believe you own things, your wealth, your possession and other things, your loved ones, then you have this fear, worry, anxiety. When separation arises, you fear you lose them. Yeah. So all this is attachment, craving, clinging, grasping, leading to all the suffering. Then the rectangle over this side, this side, mundane living, read. Dominated by what? Mundane living. Dominated by the five mental hindrances and the three evil roots leading to suffering. External phenomenal world of consciousness. So the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self, where you can't understand all this. Yeah? That's why you suffer. Then we move up to the samsaric mind. Yeah? After you have the understanding, this samsaric mind, you go up the fat arrow, the white color fat arrow, this one, this fat arrow to this box. Read it up. You can develop wisdom via direct seeing or meditation, via the silent mind in inner awareness to connect back to the true mind. So this is how you meditate, silent your mind and connect back to your true mind. So you look at the four circles up there. The first circle is the oneness nature, Nibbana, the source. They call it in Mahayana, Bensik, true nature. Or some call it the Buddha nature, the oneness nature. Then from there, there is this true mind. The true mind is before the source. When you are just aware, the pure awareness. That one is your true mind. But that one cannot come out to live life. And that one is also not you. Yeah. But when the form and mind arise, this true mind already there. It is connected to our nature through this true mind. So just aware, the true mind cannot come out to live life because just pure awareness before the thought or the knowing. So this is the meditative mind. This is the silent mind. And this can only be perceived or realized when your thought ceases, when your mundane mind ceases, when your mundane mind is not active, when you are not thinking. Just like the moment you think, you are being clouded by the thought, and you doesn't know that you have the true nature, the true mind. So meditator who fail to understand that there are two minds in you cannot meditate. They only know the thought. They use the thought. So as you develop the wisdom via the direct seeing, yeah, you see the other arrow, huh? This long arrow, see? From this samsaric mind, the long arrow go up to the top. What is it? Transformation via wisdom. So when the samsaric mind is trained and it awakens to the direct seeing, it will transform into wisdom. And this wisdom is connected to your mundane mind. So because of the wisdom, the mundane mind become the supramundane mind. It will not behave heedlessly like before. So this supramundane mind can live the enlightened life of an enlightened being. So this is what the whole chart is all about, and it's so beautiful. That's why if you can follow this chart, means you already have the understanding of the cultivation. So the next step you need to do is, yeah, what is the next step? After you have learned the teaching, understand what to do, the next step is what? Yeah? To do it, understand? That's why pariyati lead to patipati. Pariyati is to understand the teaching. Then you have to put it into practice, patipati. Then you get to reap the fruit of your hard work, which is pativeda. That's why the life of enlightenment is your fruition, is your reward. That's why they call that the reward body. Okay? So it's very good. We managed to finish the whole of the thing. Exactly 4:30 some more. Oh, sadhu. So do you have any question? Anybody got any question? Anybody? I think quite easy to understand by now. Maybe you need to go back and try to read through slowly, then understand it, then write out your own understanding on a piece of paper so that all this can stabilize, so that you will have the understanding to cultivate accordingly. How many of you can recall this sheet of paper? Good. At least almost three can recall. So I ask you a question. How different is it 5 years ago and now? A lot of different, because last time you think you know, you still don't know. But now it's so much clearer. And this is so beautiful. And I was so surprised when I did up this chart. But I must thank, I think it's Miss Lee, you did the framework for me. You get the human being. Then you draw the four circles, but it was all different things inside there. Then I saw the framework. Then I edit it. Then I come out with this edited version, which was very beautiful. And this one, I tell you, you pay for it also, you cannot get. Very few people can understand. And one sheet of paper, the whole cultivation is there. They say head to tail, tao gao bui. Any question? Or anybody want to add anything or share anything? Don't have, then you can have your meditation. I will set the alarm at. I give you half an hour. Okay, you all can off the light. Then we can have our meditation. Okay. For those who still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Okay. Always remember, yeah? You have to stabilize your daily mindfulness until your mind enters the then cultivate in the midst of your daily life. Develop the constant reflection, contemplation, the second turning wisdom. Yeah. Then go through all the important teaching, the pointers. Mm. Then silence your mind more and more to develop the cultivation of the daily mindfulness. Cultivate daily mindfulness to cultivate noble eightfold path. Okay, now we'll open it up for reporting on meditation, and after that you can ask questions, whatever question related to meditation or the teaching, and how you can use this teaching or apply this teaching to help you understand life, live life, overcome whatever problem or situation in life you can. Okay. Anybody? Just put up your hand, then I will get them to pass you the mic. Yeah, pass to PJ.
Good afternoon, Bratio, and all Kalanamitas.
Yeah.
I'd like to just share something that I experienced last week.
Okay.
There was an incident where I was driving back, and I was very agitated about something.
It goes
on and on and on.
Okay.
Even when I came back, when I was preparing for my dinner, it just goes on. Then I go like, come on, after so long, you still stir and stir and stir. You know, it's not a major thing. It's just that, you know, the mind just goes on and on. I said, okay, I'll let you stir. I just watch you stir.
Yes.
Okay.
Silent everything.
And then it just grew so big.
Yeah.
And then after that, it just went off.
Yeah.
And there was, after that, there was absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And I go like, wow. Yeah. And after that, it's like, I forget what was it about.
Yeah.
Now you ask me what is it,
you
I cannot
recall.
Even remember.
You cannot recall. Well, so when you are silent, aware, you will come out. Yeah, sometimes like what Song went through is a test. Then when you have an aversion towards it, like you say, you become like upset, unhappy, because this thing is there, then it's a hindrance. When it's a hindrance, your mind cannot settle down. You will have more and more of this. That's why if you know what meditation is, you will not fall for it. In fact, what you are describing, a lot of people, especially meditator, cultivator, and Buddhist, they don't understand. They go and fight, suppress. They try to stop the thinking. No, if you do that, you can never understand. You have to ask yourself with a clear mind. Think it just the way it is, the Buddha said. Causes and conditions like that, things will be like that. Means this is the reality. I need to understand why that's it. And to understand, I must silence. Like I observe a children or a kid, you have to understand the kid. I have to silently observe without commenting, without a preconceived idea of what the kid is doing. Yeah. If I preconceive that kid with a conditioned mind, I cannot understand what he do. But if I completely silent and let him do, then I understand. So this thought is the same. Like the Buddha say, whatever that is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. Why don't you put it into practice? It arises because of condition. If I cease the condition, it will not arise. That's why he asks you to cultivate mindfulness, heedfulness. When you are mindful and heedful means you don't feed it with any more mental energy. You understand? And because the mental energy didn't go in, there's no more stirring and reaction from your wrong view, from your attachment, craving, from your thought that want to do something. Then it will slow down, slow down. Then it will cease. But when it's a test, you will go through what you went through. That's why when you decide to just let it be, you don't want to resist, you don't want to fight, you don't want to do anything. Then you say you just want to observe what is happening. Means when you observe, don't get yourself dragged into it. Understand that? Don't let your conditioned mind try to do things, interfere with it. And then what you describe will happen. Suddenly, initially maybe like you say, it become worse. Yeah? Then all of a sudden it become very quiet. So this is to allow you to understand when there is no more sensual desire or ill will or aversion or dislike towards that thing. Means the mental hindrance are not there. Then your sati will take over. The silent mind will take over. Where you can allow it to be. That's how it can go. Then always remember, meditation doesn't mean your mind must always be quiet. Forget about that wrong view. Your mind will naturally be quiet and peaceful and still when you have the spiritual faculty. But sometimes it comes as a test. Then something else can happen. Even Achan Mahabhava, you remember? In his book, he wrote, he was training his mind, Buddho, 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 with Anapanasati. They just aware of the breath. Then they use the Buddha's name to develop the faith, Buddho, 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 until the Anapanasati become very stable. Until his mind was so stable and it was so luminous, bright, he thought that was the enlightenment. Then all of a sudden, for no reason, the mind becomes so wow. It's written in his book. He become heedless again, beyond his control, he can't do anything. But luckily, he got wisdom, he got understanding. He initially tried to get it tame again. He tried many ways, Buddha. Then he realized all this doesn't work. Doesn't work. Then finally he realized that bright luminous mind that he tried to maintain is not the true realization. There is still avijja within. But there is still a conditioned mind. That's why finally he understood, he went back to do the daily mindfulness. Then he just observed. Then he let it be. Then he realized the secret behind. It's not trying to control. It's not trying to interfere. It's understanding. The moment you understand, it ceases to be. It cannot arise. So understanding frees you. Nothing else. Not all the doing. When people say meditate, you must understand the meaning. This word meditate is very, very important. What do you mean when somebody say you must meditate? Yeah? We better go into this. Meditate means what? Huh? What does it mean? Meditate means if your mind is not in a meditative state, you cannot meditate, isn't it? True or not? So what do you do if your mind is not in a meditative state? Means you've got the five mental hindrance, you don't have the spiritual faculty. It's heedless. Wow. Especially when you go to retreat, if you have not been doing your daily mindfulness. After the tired journey, your heedless thinking is still there. That's why a lot of people can't settle down until 1 or 2 days later. Yeah, because the environment. So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to understand. Why are you not peaceful? Why are you not in a meditative state? Because the mental hindrances are there. So if the mental hindrance are there, what must I do? I must not fight it. I must not suppress it. I must not be afraid of the mental hindrance. I must observe it, silence everything, and just let it be. Thought arise, so what? Let it arise. I only need to understand my original state of mind before the stirring, before the heedlessness. The original mind was already peaceful, stillness, silent. Why can't this state arise? Yeah, I continuously through delusion and heedlessness until all this habitual tendency which the heedless thinking has developed, it conditioned the arising of the heedless thought. Yeah, it has become habitual. Every day in your daily life, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactile feel and think something, you stir your mind, you react, you don't have right view. You don't know how to be at peace with phenomena. You don't know how to be at peace with the moment, whatever that arrives. Because your mind is very, very active. And sometimes busybody, kipo. Everything also want to comment, everything also want to, what they call, get involved. Then the worst is, if you think you are a meditator, this word, because meditate symbolize a meditator. And this is a delusion. That's why Krishnamurti says, the moment there is a meditator, there is no meditation. Who meditate? If you use thought base, the thought meditate. So what the thought do? The thought remember the method and the technique. The thought remember these are evil root. These are mental hindrance. So you want to abandon it. Abandon it, there are five ways the Buddha taught. And when the Buddha taught that five way, you must understand what they are. The first two way is thought based, understand or not? That's why he said the first way, think of the opposite wholesome thought. That is temporary. It's not a permanent fix. It's not a solution. Because that is just to avoid. But it is a good way to calm you down. Because those wrong thoughts are the thoughts that are unfit for attention. So when you think of the opposite wholesome thought, these are thoughts that are fit for attention. That's why you calm down. But you don't develop wisdom yet. Do you understand? But it's thought-based. You still have to think of the opposite wholesome thought. But at least this is wholesome thought. No more wrong thought. Then the second way is what? Think of the consequence, the danger of allowing this wrong thought to be there. Like anger, fear, selfishness, heedlessness, violence, envy, jealousy. So when you see the danger, because these are evil root, will make you evil, then you will determine to abandon it. So if you already make the resolve, you will move to the third way. Third way is what? What did the Buddha say? Silence your mind and just be with it. Aware, nothing else, don't do anything. Then you will cease. Because all these unwholesome thoughts or anger or defilement, they are not you. They are not intrinsic in your true mind. They are dependent originating, conditioned arising. If you don't have self-delusion to stir your thought, they are not there. Then why do you need to do anything? That's why the silent mind meditate means there is no meditator. There is just a pure awareness, silent to understand what is going on. Then when you experience how that defilement or the evil root or the emotion or the fear or the anger cease, there is wisdom. Then you realize, I don't have to do anything. I just silent, like the bullock cart analogy. Pass through the pool of water. The Buddha asked Ananda to collect the water. Every time the bullock cart stir, the water is milky, not fit for drinking. So the Buddha told Ananda, it's the same. Your mind is the same. Every time you stir, like the bullock cart cross, it becomes murky, clouded. That's why you don't have clarity. This type of mind is no use. It's like the water. You cannot drink. That's why he asked Ananda. He told Ananda, collect it 3 times. Then Ananda went the 3rd time at night, when there is no blockade. Then he realized the water was clear. Means by not doing anything, that whatever dust, all the murky thing, settle down. Then you see clear water. Your mind is the same. When you don't do anything, all this which is not intrinsic to your true mind, they will cease to be. Why can't you understand that? There is meditation. There is no meditator. If you want a meditator, there is your awareness, that is just aware. That's why don't try to do anything. Don't try to inside there deceive yourself. Am I doing it correctly? Is this what Brother Theo say? Is this what the Buddha say? Is this what my teacher say? What are you doing? You are creating thought. Then you want to meditate. I must breathe like that. Oh, I must have daily mindfulness. Who is telling you all this? The thought is actively creating self-delusion, egoic mind and activity for you to become heedless. Then how can you settle down? How can you develop the silent mind to be aware? And this is what meditation is all about. So luckily, PG asked that question. Otherwise, there is no condition to explain. I hope by now you understand. Huh? Can understand what I say or not? You better wake up. Otherwise, I tell you, pitiful, because you can be like that. After the sasana is over, after this life gone, I tell you, you will come back without this understanding. Because if this life you cannot get it right and understood, future life you don't stand a chance, I tell you. If this life you get it right, understood, then you make the vow, the determination, you will be beautiful from then onward. Life after life, you will have this understanding. It's like the gem is in front of you, shown to you, explained to you, and you somehow refuse to understand this and go all out to cultivate this understanding. It's up to you. Yeah, it's your life. Nothing to do with our nature. That's like the Buddha say, no one save you but yourself. That's like each and every individual, we must walk the path. Buddha merely showed the way. Enlightened being can only advise you, show you the way. They cannot on your behalf cultivate for you. It can, they are very compassionate. They will do it for you, but it cannot be done. Yeah, all this involves the nature's law, karmic and everything. The karmic law, the spiritual law, the condition, the affinity, and the form of mind that come, every life is different. Without this understanding, you don't stand a chance, I tell you. Even with the sasana now, if you still don't grasp it, you don't stand a chance. And when the sasana is no more, like Brother Song La, the previous sharing he mentioned in the Tuesday class, she dare not think how it will be like. He said, with Buddha sasana, society is already like that. The living being is already like that. How will it be like when the sasana is no more? I tell you, society will be worse. A lot of heedless beings, and you can't find the teaching. There is no condition for this teaching to arise. So you can hardly come across virtuous being, enlightened being. People who can guide you, who can give you the understanding. You can't. So this is very important. Meditate means silence your mind to observe, to investigate, to understand, to develop the wisdom. Nothing else. So meditate means to silence your mind. To observe. Sorry. They develop the wisdom. The wisdom. We are awakening. So to meditate is to silence your mind, to observe with the true mind and understand, to develop the wisdom. This is what meditation is all about. It's not about the thought doing. Nothing to do with doing. It's the awakening, insight into it, to understand. Then the wisdom, once it arises, you will no longer be deluded. Then it understands. The form and mind understand. This form and mind liberate and free. So this one is very important. If you fall into the second delusion, which is a meditator meditate, then you get into problem. And that one, a lot of people until today don't understand, get trapped, because they use logic. Understand? It's only logical. If I want to meditate, there must be a meditator. Correct or not? Then who meditate? I lah. Who is the I? They don't even know it's their thought. No. And that is the worst. And you become heedless, deluded. That's why you cannot get it right. Because whenever thought is active, there is no sati. And Krishnamurti make it even more clear. Wherever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. The meditator is the thought. And thought cannot meditate to realize the enlightenment which is beyond thought. How can thought meditate? Thought is egoic. It's like a deluded person who has delusion. How can he become non-deluded? If he continues to use that thought which is egoic and deluded, he can never wake up. Understand? Because the instrument you use is not correct. You want to realize the Dhamma, the teaching of the Buddha, the truth, the awakening, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. The Buddha already explained to you under the salutation to the Dhamma. He said, this Dhamma is Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. And this Dhamma is Sanditiko, Akaliko. Sanditiko means can be realized in the here and now. Akaliko means beyond thought, beyond time. So how can your instrument be below what you are trying to realize? If you use thought, it will never realize the state of mind or enlightenment that is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why you cannot have the silent mind. And all of the meditation instruction, thus far, most of the time, apart from those who understand, is always focus, concentrate, and developing energy field, concentration, absorption. Go into jhana, go into stillness, go into samatha, or they use the word samadhi some more. To them, samadhi is the still mind, the conditioned mind, the silent mind. The one that is in a state of absorption, one-pointedness, until that thought cannot move. Energy build up. It's also, I don't call it the silent mind. In that state, there is no thought, no movement. Everything is suppressed at one point, because the energy field suppresses it. Then the continuous awareness or absorption make the mind become absorbed, cannot think, cannot arise any activity, where is apana samadhi. So all the defilement, anusaya, latent tendency, evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, they are all suppressed. They cannot come out. That's why you cannot understand. Then when you come out into daily life, into society, when you don't hold on to all this absorption, concentration, or one-pointedness, energy field, then you realize those anusaya, latent tendency or defilement that has not been rooted out, will surface again. Because these are latent tendency. Or Eckhart Tolle call it pain body. No condition, this pain body doesn't give you pain. But when there is condition, the pain body develop pain. So these are emotional negativity that are dormant because there is no condition for people to disturb you, to step on your toe or to agitate you and make you fearful, miserable. But the moment there is condition, you realize you react. You become like before, you haven't changed. So what is the use of all those fantastic meditation that you experience? The very still, very calm, all the nimitta, the fantastic mind state. You can do all the psychic magic and all those things. What for? But you cannot understand the First Noble Truth reality. You are still subject to its affliction. And if you don't have wisdom, your mind will not liberate. That's why only wisdom liberate the mind, free the mind. Not all the fantastic mind state, meditative state. But when the spiritual faculties are there, when the mind is trained, all these mind states are there, but that mind is a free mind, not a conditioned mind. There is nothing to bind it, hold it. It is just free. It can come out into life. It has the understanding. It does not stir anymore. That's why when an enlightened being has the wisdom, he can see things as they are. He can be at peace with all situations, at all times, anywhere, any place. He don't have to be in a certain state of mind to be free. Even with the disease, everything, the mind is still the same. It's free, liberated. It cannot be deluded anymore. It cannot hold, it cannot cling. It can't even complain. No reality. Then the consciousness is the consciousness. Because of condition, it's trapped inside. Then he will experience all this. Then he knows there are two choices. React to it, become miserable and suffer. Accept it, be patient with it, silent everything. Then it will cease to be. Then you can realize the enlightenment, Nibbana, the truth. Then all this understanding will stabilize and make you very different. Okay? Thank you so much. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Any more? You can continue.
Ratio, I realize when we say daily mindfulness, I've been telling myself to do it diligently. Initially, it's quite an effort, very much using the thought to see what we are doing. But as time goes, there seem to be less thoughts and
sadhu, very good.
Sometimes, like you say, when I can see the thought coming up.
Yeah.
And when it comes out, especially when your heedless thought come out, then I will just observe and say, is that the truth? And most of the time, I realize it's just either memories or our
correct
conditioned opinion
memory
coming up,
conditioning, and all
that shows
your,
that we are so ingrained.
Old belief system, your old conditioning from the past. Very good. Yeah. This is what you're supposed to see. Then you will understand clearly who you are, what you are. But these are not you. These are content of consciousness, the thought. When your memory carry all these views, opinion, conditioning, fears, counts of memory and all those things, because these are your memories. You accumulate everything in life, good and bad. Then through this conditioning, you act. That's why you act according to your fear, your scars of memory, your unhappy mind. Or your views and opinion, then you have your pattern of reaction, then you cannot come to terms with a lot of things. A lot of things, you want things your way, which is not nature's way, because you don't have the right view and the wisdom and that. Then your mind will stop. That's why when you develop daily mindfulness, you will start to see all this, like what PG has described. Initially, like very clumsy, like you say, you have to put in like effort to be mindful, to be aware. No, actually no need. The only effort if you should have to do is to remind yourself to be mindful. Understand or not? Remind yourself. The moment you are not mindful or aware, then you remind yourself. You have to come back to the training. You have to come back to your inner awareness to be aware from inside out. Because you know you are heedless. That's why Krishnamurti is very, very wise. He said, the awareness of inattention is attention. You understand that? Huh? I write it down. Awareness of inattention is attention. The moment you are aware of inattention means you have become heedless. Awareness of inattention. Oh, sorry. Double D, So this one is IN, is attention. So it's just so simple. When I'm aware that I am not aware, that itself is awareness. Because only the mind that is aware, that is not aware, has the awareness. So a lot of people don't understand this. They try to practice to be aware. How can you practice to be aware? Where the thought is active. That's the reason why I always advise you all. What you need to do is just do. Don't try to know, like bowing. Just bow. You bow until the body and mind move as one, there is no thought. Then the form and mind will know what sati is. Means when sati arises, you will know. Your daily mindfulness also same. Just do. Like you play any game, badminton or whatever, or table tennis. Initially, you are not skillful. Whole racket also cannot, very clumsy. Then you miss your shuttlecock. That's why you need to train. You train until you become very, very mindful, aware, then very graceful. Then you don't think. The action is spontaneous. It's part of you already. People ask you, how did you become so skillful? Train, That's why the shuttlecock, any time they can hit and they can return based on their understanding. But when you are training, initially it's very clumsy. You can't even serve to baseline. You lack strength. You don't have the stroke. You don't have the understanding. Then you don't know the game. You cannot cover the court. And most of the time you lose to people. But as you train, you develop the understanding. It's like fighting defilement. You know how to counter them. Then you realize if you are not skillful, you cannot win the game. You cannot be good at the game. Skillful means what? Mindful, graceful. Then when you are skillful, there is no thought. Spontaneous. The stroke, very fast. Go. So, mindfulness is the same. Just do. Walk naturally. Relax. Walk. Bow. Aware of the four postures. Means, remind yourself not to be lost in thought. Every time aware, whatever you do, even at home, when your hand move, when your leg move, body and mind as one, even when you go to your car, driving, when you take out the car key, how you want to press the remote to open the car, be aware. Then the hearing, everything, be aware. No need to know, just aware. Then when it become continuous, when the sati stabilize, even like anapana sati, until the silent mind arrives, the mind enters sati, then he will know where the mind that is in sati is mindful. Then the form and mind will know this is mindfulness, no thought one. It's just aware. Then you realize everything you do that time is like the body and mind is one. Then everything you see also is sati, the specific phenomenal awareness. The movement in nature, mental flow, physical flow, nature's flow, all become very clear to you. That's why for one who see, they always see, because their mind is silent. If you try to use the thought to see, and use knowledge to try to be aware or mindful, you can never do it, I tell you. You just do, and it will come. It's not difficult. So whatever you do, just maintain awareness, inner awareness, body and mind move as one. Then you must determine to develop this meditative mind, the silent mind, the daily mindfulness. Once you hit that, which is not difficult, I already say it's easier than learning how to ride a bicycle. Bicycle, at least you keep on falling and hurt yourself. This one, you don't get hurt on. The worst is you become hitless on it. You got nothing to lose there. So, train. When bow, just bow. When eat, just eat. Relax, silent. Always remember the four support. I put up there the four support. Relax into every mind state that arises. Then aware, silent your mind. Then maintain it for as long as you can until the daily mindfulness stabilizes. Then this one becomes 24 hours. Then later on, when it reaches the heart, your nature, trust. Don't do. No thought involved. Just let the nature do. Then you just aware. The nature just aware. Aware. Then everything will transform. Still. Then the energy will move by itself. There is no interference from the thought. This is what real meditation is. Awareness-based meditation. So these are the four support for awareness-based meditation. This word B is like eight, so I have to write again. So this awareness-based meditation is very important. Okay? This is very good. Where as you ask, there is condition that I can explain. Then you can understand better, because all are approaches from different angle. Because the Dhamma is a very, very wide topic. You have to use word to express the truth which is beyond word. That's why it's not easy. But it can be done. It can only be like made clear by people who have the realization. Otherwise you can't. But these are not theory. These are not knowledge. These are real awakening and understanding that can only come about if that form and mind has developed it. That's why it's not easy to find somebody who can really teach you, guide you, and train you, and let you have the understanding. I hope by now it's clear, this thing is very clear to you. Otherwise you will continue, to run around, chase around, and try this, try that, and do all the funny things. And finally, back to square one, where you still don't understand what is meditation. But when you understand what is meditation, when you write it down and very clear, one day, when you really have the understanding, you will laugh at yourself for being so deluded in the past. Then every time when you start to understand, you will always tell yourself, "Ayo, how come last time, Brother Teo repeated so many times, cannot hear, cannot get it, the message." But the thought, full of all the, what they call, I call it the rubbish inside, understand? The conditioning, the views, the opinion. So you got too much thing inside there that prevent you from listening, obstruct you from listening. And these are your conditioned views, opinion, habitual tendency. But you don't have an open mind. You don't know how to investigate. You are gullible. Then your thought keep on telling you. You know what your thought will tell you? Cannot be lah. People are monks, full time. They do it for so long. then all these things that you share, never heard of one, no. Book also never write one, no. That's why you have doubt. When you have doubt, that is a mental hindrance. When that is a mental hindrance, you cannot progress. It will hinder you from going in, from developing the understanding. Why should you doubt? You ask yourself. If I can give myself a chance, give yourself a chance means what? Very simple, isn't it? If I continue with what I'm doing, I'm going nowhere. True or not? Yeah? If you already know that you have been doing this for 30 years, 40 years, or 20 over years, and it's not taking you anywhere, you have not changed, you have not transformed. So what must you do? You must change the way you do, isn't it? True or not? You can understand that or not? If what you are doing is not giving you a result, you have to have an open mind to try something else. And what have you got to lose? Just the time, understand now? So you put it to investigation, like you don't know anything, clean slate, start all over again. That's why I told you, the 29 years old guy, who don't have Dhamma base, never meditate, he can understand so fast. Why? Because it's a clean slate. There is no conditioning. There is no wrong view. And he has been searching for so long. Yeah, he knows this is a very difficult problem. He needs help. But he cannot find help. Then finally, when he found help, he knows. Because somebody who can relate his condition so clearly to him. Then he like wake up all of a sudden. Like he had joy, you know. He all of a sudden understand how he was caught in all those negativity of mind state, the wrong thought, paying attention to the wrong thing, clinging on to all the words that people said about him. And all this projection of thought, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow, the lamentation, the scars of memory, the phobia, everything. So all these are trapped in memory. And he was holding on to all this wrong thought, wrong memory for so long until it created intense fear. That's how depression sets in. That's how suicidal thought keep on coming. Myself die. No more meaning. Everybody look down on me. Everybody don't believe me. This is what your thought will tell you. That if you are deluded, without wisdom, nobody explain all this to you, then you will be afflicted, miserable. Because the explanation is very simple. Like I always share with you all, thought is like a tool, T-O-O-L, endowed for you to use to live life, to develop all the appropriate use, like a knife for you to cut fruits, shape vegetables. Yeah, or crafting, or help you to cut strings and all those things. But if you use it to cut yourself, harm yourself, hurt yourself, and hit others, there is the wrong way of using that knife, which is that tool. But precisely, human being is using their thought in this way, to harm themselves, to hurt themselves, and hit others, and make yourself miserable. Then I just told him, which means you don't love yourself. If you love yourself, you will not harm yourself and hurt yourself. You will go all out to protect yourself. You know, like you love your child, you will sacrifice to protect your child from suffering, from problem. You know. Then the other way is, it's just a thought. How come it has such power over you to make you so miserable? What is a thought? Consciousness and its content arise and pass away. How come it got power to make you so miserable? Where you deludedly grasp, cling, and hold, and you give meaning, project your thought, and make yourself fearful, miserable. All this negative energy field come from delusion, come from your thought projection, not able to understand that this is not the reality. This is what your thought tell you, deceive you, project the thinking. Then you become fearful. It hasn't happened yet. It's just like health problem. The moment you heard health problem, especially doctor tell you, or the specialist tell you, your face straight away become so affected. In Bahasa, they call pucat, like pale, because of intense fear, worry, anxiety. Then you become unhappy, sorrow, lamentation. Then you got no mood to do things. But your life, you hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be miserable is entirely your choice. Why can't you decide appropriately? Choose to be happy. Why must you allow the thought to make you miserable? Cause you so much affliction and suffering. Means you don't understand how to use thought. You don't have the wisdom to understand life. You are really foolish. If you use that thought as a tool to harm yourself, hurt yourself, and hit out others, that is really delusion, foolishness, or stupidity, the Mahayana way of expressing it, which is a more strong word. They say, really stupid. A normal person who has the rational understanding will not allow themselves to be harmed and afflicted by their own thought. Nobody will use that tool to harm themselves, hurt themselves, and make themselves miserable. So you give them this type of analogy, they will wake up. Then you tell them karma, you reap what you sow. Whatever you do to people come back to you. So all this comes from your past karma. You did to people, but you don't know. So now there is condition for you to be hit, you will receive back. How to overcome all this? The Buddha mentioned, need to ask for forgiveness, ask for forgiveness. Need to repent, repent. Then determine not to repeat all this. Then cultivate, develop your merit, spiritual wealth. Then invoke power of merit for causes and conditions for you to recover, to have a better life. This is how the Buddha Dharma, the Buddha's teaching can improve your life. Can turn your life around and make you beautiful. This is how suffering can cease to be. So all these are very, very powerful understanding that can free a person. No matter how long that person has been afflicted or in a depressed state, when they understand this, they just walk out of it. They just like wake up. And for his case, he experienced it personally. He don't believe what happened. No? Because only 1 week. For the past 6-7 days, he got no more negative thought, wrong thought, suicidal thought, unhappy thought. There was real freedom, like he said. For the first time in his life, he has such freedom. That's why that joy is beyond description. And this one, no need to pay money anymore. You go see psychiatrist, you got to pay a lot of money, you know. And you got to take all the medications. So this one, no medication, free. It just understand. Then all Kayamita also, you all should rejoice because you all donated through Kayamita Fund all these books, all this recording, all this transcript. And they find it very useful. That's why now they learn how to meditate. They learn how to read all these books. And to make themselves different, to improve themselves, to turn themselves around. So when you have all this understanding, you become different. Then life become meaningful. Life take a turn, no more like before, heedless, full of attachment, craving, clinging, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow. So all this, like the Buddha said, suffering need not be. And even Bhayan Kathy also says, suffering is optional. She realized suffering is optional. If you believe the thought, you suffer. You don't believe the thought, you accept what is, you become peaceful, beautiful. And this freedom is just so simple, Bhayan Kathy said. And it's there for every living being, every human being. So why can't you understand all this and free your mind and develop the understanding, the joy, to heedfully train your mind or diligently train your mind so that this heedful living become a new way of life, so that you are no longer heedless. And the heedful never die, like the Buddha said. You are destined for enlightenment. So this understanding, once you go, you will go all out and cultivate. You will not waste your time anymore. Yeah. So get it understood clearly. Then you will determine to change. And after that, there is no turning back. We are your own understanding, your own faith, your own spiritual faculty will move you. From the faith and the understanding, the virya will come. And when the virya come, your sati will come. And when sati come, you stabilize it, samadhi will come. Then with sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are, wisdom will arise. And cultivation is just so simple. There is nothing difficult. So when you understand, it's very simple. But when you don't understand, this way is not easy to find. This understanding is not easy to find. And for a cultivator to have this type of understanding so stable, to impart it to you in such clear manner, is really, really very rare. You can find very, very rare. That's why the opening verse of the sutta already tell you. Yeah. This type of teaching, this type of truth, is very difficult to come by. So when you have the condition, you better make full use of it. Like the famous Mahayana saying, Then they got another saying, Zen sen nan te, jing yi te, means you already have a human birth. Then fo fa nan wen, jing yi wen. Even the Dhamma that is so difficult to encounter, you already encounter, and you are born as a human being. Then what are you waiting for? You are really very special, very blessed. Otherwise you can't have this condition. To be born as a human is not easy, not by chance. Then to have the condition and affinity to encounter the true Buddha Dhamma is even more rare. If you have the condition to have both, means you have your path, and you allow this window to slip by, too bad. You have to wait another, like what the book says, millions of aeons. Because this type of teaching is very difficult to encounter. Okay? Yeah. We should rejoice with PG's question. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Oh, you still got 5 minutes. Anybody wants to report meditation or anything? Nobody. Otherwise we can end. So at least we won't exceed the time. Then this copy, take home and keep it. If you are going for the retreat, remember to bring along. So for the retreat, those who are going, remember, you need to bring your Heart Sutta, then your that blue book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, then the two chanting book, the thin one and the thick one. Then I will give you some notes, including this one. Most of the notes are our short note together with the 2013 earlier notes. I will get them printed. Because there was one sheet that I wrote last night through my own contemplation. It's in the year 2008. Now I only got the hard copy. I don't have the soft copy. Anybody's email can go back to 2008 or not? Anybody's email can go back to 2008? 2008. You look for the email on the nature of mind. No. I have resent it out, I don't know what day, but I can't find my original email because there are so many emails. I will do it out. I will do it out. You can scan and convert it. Then I pass you the This Tuesday, I pass you the hard copy. I'll pass you the hard copy. But I almost type finished. I think it's quite okay. Yeah, but I can still pass you the hard copy. Yeah. Because if got the soft copy, it's very easy to just not only edit, because my that copy is very blur after photos like so many times already. Then the one that come out from the previous photos that was not so clear. And the printing that time we use the cosmic format, which is very, very, very small. The font is very small. And that one is very good, the nature of mind. You will understand what sati is, what the silent mind is. Because that one, I contemplated it, I wrote it out in the early years, 2008. And that time, very few people has a. I actually replied to a monk through the email in the States, because he can't understand what sati is. And they use a lot of word, but cannot. Then finally, I wrote to him and I explained it. That's why it was not easy. Then in between, there was some email exchange. Then finally, I think the monk toned down. At first, he was very unhappy because he thought I was trying to, I don't know what word you use, because he requested for advice. Then I was registered with that website. Then I saw that the student that questioned him was very good. His question was very relevant. The only thing is that student of his don't know how to put it in word. Then after he answered that student, what happened was he like go back and check himself. Then he realized that the student has a point, Then he wrote it into the website and say all this, Then he said, yeah, the student has a point. It's about mindfulness and don't know what. So to him, his definition, mindfulness is like the four right effort. So he also knew that he hasn't got it right. Then after that, I replied. After I replied, he became like very unhappy. I was new. Then like a nobody inside there, then suddenly like telling him what sati is. Then after that, I wrote back, I say, I don't know what is happening. You request for help. That's why I send the thing, and share with you my understanding. I don't know why you get so upset. Then he realized he has reacted, is it? Then after that, he tried to justify what he said. Then he tried to write a lot of things that are very harsh. But then I just accept him for what he is. Then I replied in such a way that he was able to amicably resolve it. But he tried many ways to explain to me that his teaching, his method is correct, isn't it? Is it? And he said there are students who benefited from it. Then I knew already it's very difficult to resolve this amicably if we continue trying to be right. So I didn't try to be right. Because if you want to be right according to you, I can accept. So I wrote back in a very nice way so that he won't get unhappy. I said, maybe based on what you have written now, I think it should be okay. There is a possibility that you can also develop the understanding. Wow, then after that, he got one lady chief disciple. She was so happy that there is a compromise solution, and because she wrote to thank me, and then all the things get resolved. Then very funny, after that, the group, there are two or three who were on the sideline witnessing all this. One of them wrote to me, I think from India. He said, Mr. Teo, don't worry about what they say. I want to follow you, he said. Let's go out of the side. Then I will write to you. I said, no, please, don't create all this misunderstanding. I said, this center, this website is not bad, relatively not bad. There another Canadian, I think, Canadian. I forgot, I think he's a Canadian or a state Englishman. He wrote to me separately. Then he asked me a lot of very personal things. Then I replied to him. Then he said, yeah, luckily I met you. I said, luckily I contacted you. But somehow it was amicably resolved. So that definition which I gave to that monk, I wrote it into that particular email, Nature of Mind, and definition of sati. So when you read through that one, you will understand what sati is very clearly. Then you know how to cultivate. Okay, we better end. I think exceeded. exceeded 3 minutes. Okay, let us recall to mind all of the wholesome action and wholesome merits that we have developed over the past 3 hours. Then we shall share and transfer this merits to all beings, starting with the devas. Aka sata chyo bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkhantu loka sasana itta watta jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect to Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Sakyamuni Buddha, and all the worthy ones. Then we end.